bitch, please.
Okay, hi guys. Welcome to the 13th episode of Bitch, Please. We're back.
We are back.
We miss talking about ourselves so much, so we're happy that we could do this again and have people listen to us along the way.
Yeah, and I guess in this hiatus, I've kind of been searching for something like this, like just hearing a comedic, honest take about female stuff. And I really haven't found it. And I think that's kind of what inspired me to be like, oh, we need to start this up again. Because I was listening to a different podcast. And I honestly, I didn't even tell you this, Jillian, but like, I couldn't stand them. Their voices, what they were saying, but like their voices were bothering me so much.
There's a lot of people out there with podcasts where I'm like, I'm so curious how they've garnered listeners based upon how irritating their voices are. And I hope mine's, you know, I know like whatever, everyone has an individual voice, but the kind that's very vocal fry, I can't listen to it.
The thing that I've noticed though, and I'm curious if you've noticed the same thing, is that all of the voices that I can't stand are women. Like I haven't found any male voices that bother me, and I've been trying to figure out like what that is. And is it that like we talk in a more annoying way, or is it some sort of like we've been trained to just hate each other? Like, I'm not sure.
Well, you know what it is, I think for me at least, is I don't like female voices are fine, but it's when the girls start being like annoying or playing ditzy or dumb or being like, I don't know, like that is what bothers me. I don't think it's the actual tone of their voice. It's like when they start being like cutesy or something.
I think it's the baby voice that like Britney Spears pioneered in the early 2000s. And I think I actually tweeted about it because I was like, who before Britney Spears spoke like a baby, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like she really kicked things off there.
Right. I mean, I just think that's one of the ways throughout history that women have been, like, a role that they've been taught to play, or, like, you know, the ditzy little baby, and then they'll like, the men will like you if you're ditzy, or, you know, just anything but, like, strong and confident, God forbid.
More docile. It's funny because, so Hannah and I really love Dax Shepard's Armchair podcast.
It's called Armchair Expert. Obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm. So anyhow, I was like making eggs this morning, and I put it on, and because it was with Chelsea Handler. Did you listen?
Yeah. I listen the second it comes out. I listen while I brush my teeth. I'm like incredibly lonely, so I need podcasts like playing all the time so I don't feel like I'm as alone. I need new ones. If anyone has any recommendations. I don't listen to any right now. Because for a while, sorry, I interrupted you. For a while, I was listening to like How I Built This and like Second Life and all these things about like women and their careers. And it just started getting me like, not depressed, but I was like, ugh, like I need an escape from like work stuff. Like, I don't need a reminder to be like working harder. Like, I have enough of that. I need more like fun listening podcasts. So this one's great. But yeah, I did listen to Chelsea Handler.
Okay, I agree. I want to come back to the whole like girl boss podcast scenario and how that's kind of overwhelming. But also, oh, so Chelsea was basically, to your point, Chelsea was talking about, I didn't get through the whole thing. She was just saying how like being a very opinionated woman and being funny, and I mean, she's really intense, but she finds it very hard to find men who are willing to date her, who want to date her or are interested in her. And I just think it's a fascinating thing to think about.
My old therapist, one of the many things that he said that I look back and I'm like, wow, he was messing me up. He would tell me that as a strong female who really cares about her career, that it would be hard for me to find a guy who'd want that.
Oh my God.
What was he, and I was like,
in like the 18th
century? I know. And then I was like, I hear you for like, people your age. He must have been like late 60s, and I was like, I understand like in your generation men didn't want that, but I think now I think it's different. But listen, I'm 29 and single, so who's to say?
He sounds like an asshole. I'm glad you found a new therapist.
He would tell me I was beautiful a lot.
That's really creepy.
Yeah, my new therapist is like, what? But he never was like hitting on me. I don't know.
Well, I've had therapists tell me I'm like a beautiful woman if I was like really insecure that day and I was complaining about something, but it was almost like fatherly. I don't know how yours came
out. Yeah, it definitely came out fatherly. Like he would be like, ask me if I thought I was attractive or if I knew I was attractive. And anyone that knows me knows, like, of course, we all have insecurities, but I'm a pretty confident person, like almost to a fault. So I don't know why that was. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't walk around thinking I'm like Gigi Hadid, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you're comfortable with the way you look. Like, that's great.
Like, yeah, I mean, listen, like, do I want a nose job? Yes. Like, did I just get a lot of Botox in my forehead? Yes.
Oh, my God. Wait, can we talk about
that? We need to talk about it. Oh, my God. I got overtoxed. I made that verb up, but I've been saying it, and I literally cannot raise my eyebrows, and it is so funny. Are you ready, Jill? Are you looking at me?
I'm noticing now, because Hannah and I are Skyping.
No, you wouldn't notice like this, but when I raised my eyebrows, I had, like, full-on wrinkles. Like, I was just home for a family thing, and my family was making fun of me so much.
Has your mom gotten Botox?
A little bit. Not, she's never even gotten as much as I got.
So I guess I'm blessed because I don't really have that many forehead wrinkles yet, so I'm not really considering it. But when the time comes, I will definitely consider it.
Oh my God, we need to talk about something else that I recently looked into.
What?
Dad, if you're listening, turn this off immediately. I started looking into anal bleaching. Someone brought it up to me and I was like, I was just looking into it. And then I found a friend who was like, sure, I'll do it. And what a world we live in.
Okay. Well, Kanye West sings about that in his song, but I didn't really know people do that. Don't you just get your ass lasered or waxed? Why would you have to bleach it?
Okay. So the bleaching of the butthole is not about the hair. It's about the skin. It's like you're Michael Jacksoning your butt.
Why?
Because I guess as you get older, the skin around the butt gets darker.
Okay.
And in porn, I guess the porn stars get their butt bleached so that way the skin gets lighter so it looks younger or something. And so I guess that now men start to like that. And I was looking into it. But the idea of bleaching my skin seems very unhealthy. It just seems like you're asking for cancer.
I think that's the most unnecessary thing I've ever heard of doing to your body.
I found one that is laser. It's like, so I had like a few broken blood vessels around my nose that I wanted to get lasered forever. And I finally did. And it wasn't expensive. And it was, honestly, I should have done it years ago. But it's like that, but on the skin around your butt. And it is like, you need to get 3 sessions. It's $350 a session. So it comes out to like around like $950. And the guy I was talking to who brought it up, I was like, listen, if you feel that strongly about it and you want to pay for it, I'll consider it. But I'm not spending $5. I'm not spending $5 on that.
Wait, someone you were talking to asked you to get your ass bleached?
It just came up in conversation.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think he has some issues, and I also...
Oh, yeah. That's, like, the least weird of the things.
Okay.
Which leads me into a lot of the other things I want to talk about on today's podcast.
Okay, sure.
Should I just go into it?
Yeah, throw a topic out.
I guess the first topic is, I have this... It's not a theory, but I have this idea that I think what you like in the bedroom is really important to a relationship. It's just as important as having similar hobbies. And I think on dating apps, one of the things that you can click is like height, job, whatever.
Religion,
there should be a sexual preference. Like, you know, whether it's like on a scale of like vanilla to BDSM. Like there should be something there though.
Yeah, but it's like, would you check a box if you like role play? I mean, I guess like there are
don't think it needs to get super specific. I just think like regular, weird, kinky. I don't know, something. like yeah. that. Like, I think that should be, it should be more open. People should be able to talk about it, because I hate the fact that, like, we're juggling so many things, right? It's like, you can't sleep with someone on the first date because then they're not going to respect you, and then they're not mm-hmm. going to want to date you. So then you have to wait 5 dates or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Granted, I yep. never wait that long. You have to wait
it works
X amount of dates just to find out if you're sexually compatible. It's 100%. Like, I don't have the time for this. I need to know up front, what are we... I like it all on the table up front.
Which someone clearly, I was recently dating, it was like, we had such a like tight friendship and I enjoyed hanging out with him. But in terms of hooking up, it was just like disconnected. And I didn't... And he would get insecure about like, oh, he doesn't know if he's pleasing me. And I didn't want to coach him through it the entire time. But I think that's what you have to do. But it makes it very sterile that
way.
Well,
it's because porn has taught men the wrong things about pleasing women. Like, I just don't think men understand what a woman wants in the bedroom. And I don't think it's most of their fault. Like, that's what they've been watching and been learning. And I think there needs to be, like, online classes for how to please a woman. And listen, how to please a man, too. You know, let's do it all. But I think there should be a way for a place for people to go to learn what to do. I don't want to have to coach you through it. Like, that's not sexy to me.
We need, like, a Dr. Ruth, but younger and, like, doing something on YouTube. And it has to just blow up.
Yeah. We do.
It's a good idea.
So that kind of leads me into my next thing that I recently learned about that I'm like kind of mind blown by. So I've been recently learning about sex clubs.
Okay.
Have you? Like, okay. Or I guess they're sex
parties. You mean like swingers?
Sex clubs? No. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know anything about this world, but a friend recently sent me the website. There's this new like sex club called NSFW. It doesn't stand for not suitable for work. Hold on, let me go to the website. And it's basically like a sex club for millennials. That's like what they're being branded as.
That's gross, honestly. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, do you? But like,
I don't agree. I think that's totally allowed.
To go have an orgy? Like, these places have existed since like the 60s, but maybe it's never been branded for
inside
millennials.
Inside NYC's hot millennials only sex club. That's one thing. Inside Manhattan's newest hangout for sex positive millennials. I think it's kind of interesting. Like, I'm definitely intrigued by it all. But anyway, I think they offer classes, which is kind of where I was going, for this kind of stuff. And I believe they offer class. I was watching this video about from like the New York Post about it, and they offer classes from everything from like BDSM to like much more regular stuff.
It says that it's the Soho House of sex clubs, a description that's really not too far off. So everyone has to be hot. It's kind of like Raya, but like
it's for Raya. Sex. It's a sex club for Raya people, 100%. It's creatives. Apparently, there's like some celebrities.
Yeah.
But yes, they offer classes, which I find interesting. Sex ed for grown-ups.
Wait, I have a question. Like, can you go as a voyeur? I wonder. Or do you have to participate?
No, I don't think you have to do anything. I think these kind of places are... I was reading an article, actually. I think it was on Refinery29. And basically, the girl was saying, like, the room is filled with, like, pot smoke. It's like, everyone's high for the most part. Like... Mm. And I think it's just a really sexually open environment where I think most likely you go with a partner. I'm not positive, but I think you can watch. I mean, I think there's some people there who are just like in sexy lingerie and want to just feel sexy. And then there's like other like full orgies. And then there's like tables where you can be tied up. And,
you know, I take back my it's gross, because I think it's cool that there's a space for people who want to do that, who could do that knowing that they're like in a place where they're going to be accepted by another person. 100%. Likely. You know,
100%.
They're not doing it and like out of line.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's great. But the classes I find interesting.
Mm. So, okay. I know we're talking about dating a lot and we usually try and veer away from this, but I just have one more thing that I want to share. So I was dating someone for a while and now I'm not, and I am on Bumble and Hinge and everything, right? So I'm swiping away and I match with this guy. I'll call him Jack. And he was really cute. And he had in his bio that he has a place in the Catskills. So I was like, yes, interested. Then because of Bumble's algorithm, like he didn't see the match within 24 hours. And I screenshot him because I had a feeling he wasn't going to see it. Then I like found him. I like Googled him, whatever. I was like, Jack, whatever. It came up. And I was like, I'm going to Facebook friend him. So I Facebook friended him and he hasn't like accepted. And now I'm like, do I LinkedIn request him or do I just let it be?
Why are you going to Facebook and LinkedIn before Instagram?
That's a good question. I think I did go to Instagram, but it was private and I'm not going to follow him.
Why not?
I suppose that's not much different than the Facebook friend, or maybe it was because I couldn't find his Instagram.
Yeah, maybe that was probably it.
There was something because
I think you send a message. I don't think you then I think LinkedIn is too much. Granted, I don't really use LinkedIn, but I think that's like a professional space.
Okay, so either I'm going to let this go that this guy is for me, or I'm going to
I've done this so many times. Not necessarily from the dating app, but I think definitely once or twice from a dating app, but I don't think it's that weird. I know other people think it's weird, but I say message him. You have nothing to lose.
Yeah, I mean, we already matched. It's just like I took it to the next level by finding out who he is. I mean, whatever. Also, like, let's talk about, this is just like, I've been in the park. Well, so I moved to the Upper East Side, and so it's nice. I can go to Central Park. And there are some women who run with their hair down. And I'm just interested in that personality type and why they do that. And I feel like it might be in the same family of people who wear jeans in the house. Like, it's, but I'm not, you know, I don't know if those are necessarily connected.
Do you see this often?
I've seen it, like, I've definitely seen it enough to take notice of it and be like, isn't she, like, annoyed by the hair just, like, falling in her face? Or somehow it stays tucked behind her ear. I don't know. I don't really understand. Because when you're doing that much movement, wouldn't you want your hair in a ponytail?
Is it short or long?
Long. I've seen girls with long hair running.
Yeah, in my head, it's like, oh, their ponytail holder must have snapped. Like, who would just be with it long and down?
Like Kim Kardashian, I feel like.
No way. Like, to me, if you're working out, you're working out. Like, they're clearly not really there for the exercise. Yeah, so I've been trying to drink a lot more water as of like a few days ago because it's healthy and they say you should. And so I just pee every 5 minutes.
I'm always peeing, and at work it's because like I'll go to the bathroom like 80 times a day. A lot of it's because I want to jewel in the restroom and like just like have a break from like everybody. But I realized the other day I like forgot my jewel and I went to the bathroom like 5 times instead of like 15, and I was like, this is good, this is a good challenge for me and my oral fixations.
I once had a job that one time I had a job where I was the second assistant to three people, and they each had their own assistant. And then I was there to like, as backup for all of them. And so basically I wasn't allowed to go to the bathroom. Like if I wanted to go to the bathroom, I had to ask three people if it was okay if I left.
Are you serious?
To go up to the bathroom. It was insane. And it's like, I drink a lot of water. I pee a lot. I only lasted at the job for 3 months.
That's like slavery. Honestly, you have to ask someone if you can go to the bathroom. That's what people endure to be like writer's assistants. Like,
well, because if they got a call and no one was there to get it, then I was in trouble. So yeah, you can't just like get up. Hollywood is nuts.
It's really wild. It's, yeah. What else can we talk about?
What else has been going on with you? You got a job.
I got a job, so I'm working as a copywriter. It's been good. Like, I need, you know, structure. Sometimes it's hard for me to make it for myself, but I'm the kind of person who needs structure, like, 3 days a week in an office, and then 2 days a week, like, I could be on my own doing something. And I don't think that's a very conventional, obviously, it's unconventional and I don't know. I feel like I'm two different people most of the time, but...
Well, right now you have 4-in-1.
Yeah, so I get to work from home on Fridays, which is amazing.
Like, how do we get it so you get another day from home?
Right. I'd have to maybe be, like, a mom or something. I don't really know how people do that, but...
I just mean there's no way you can ask for another day of working remotely?
There are some days I could work from the city, and it depends, like, what my client is doing. So I have two clients. One half of the client is, like... They're pretty cool. I like them. And then the other brand is like all over the place. There are hardly any hot guys at my office. So that like depresses me, but also helps me focus more. Speaking of hot guys, so there's this article in The Atlantic. Yeah. And it's basically about how attractive people affect our brain chemistry. And everyone's different, but you either have like a surge of dopamine if someone's like super hot, or they could stress you out and you could just have like a surge of cortisol, which like is, I guess, the adverse effect of seeing a hot person. But to be honest, like the last time I felt high off of seeing a hot guy was like a camp counselor I was obsessed with. I don't think I've felt like a high from a hot person like that since I was a teenager.
I do every single time I pass them. Like, I think I'm like a man, like when men pass like pretty women. When I pass nice looking men, I'm like, hello. Most of the time they're gay though. But
yeah, especially in LA. There's a lot of dads up here. So like, I like the Upper East Side because it's homey, but it's a lot of like young moms and like kids, and it's kind of annoying.
But it's interesting because like I almost exclusively don't date hot men, but Jillian does. I'm looking at this article. That's why I'm...
Yeah, I do. And that's why, like, even last night I went on a date and we had a good time and all, but I just wasn't that attracted to him. And I'm scared that if I keep saying I'm not that attracted to someone, like, I'm just going to end up, like, not attracted to anyone. But I can't control it. Like, I don't.
So you have to be attracted to them. I guess for me, like, when I'm dating someone, the personality and who they are is just so much more important to me than how they look physically. Yeah. And so I mean, shallow. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dating trolls or anything, but that, like, I just find the people who are like exactly my type physically have shit personalities. Like, good looking men, generalization, I'm sure there are exceptions to the rule, are boring or like not funny or not kind. And maybe that's a lot of an assumption too, but that's generally how I feel. And I think that's why, like, if a guy's too hot on a dating app, I'll swipe left.
Wow. I personally am looking for a very specific type of person, and that person is very good looking now, but was like the fat kid growing up, because they're the nicest guys, because, you know, that's kind of like, I was chunky when I was little, and I feel like, I don't know, it made me appreciate growing into myself more. And I also relate to the struggle.
Yes, that's obviously the goal, is the guy who was fat when he was younger and is now like a gorgeous person. But I just...
That's rare too.
They're rare. But a friend of mine dated someone like that who was like fat when he was younger and now he's like really hot. And it's not as good as it seems, because he has a lot of issues with food and with his body. And I mean, he had a lot of issues with women too. I don't think that had to do with being fat as a child, but everyone's messed up. I don't know.
Everyone's so messed up. Remember? Oh, back to that Dax Shepard podcast, how Chelsea Handler was like saying, like, who would ever want to be a dentist? Like, could you just not get through med school? And I was like, I don't know. I think some people are just into teeth.
Well, the one thing I'll say about that is dental school's a long time too. It's not like it's a year course. It's a full thing.
I know. I felt like kind of like I disagreed with her a bit. Like, I thought it was funny.
In that sense, I didn't agree with that. But dentists have the highest suicide rate.
Yeah. I wonder like how that's connected. Is there an interest? Like, I don't know. Like, why, if you're a dentist, do you want to kill yourself more? Like, I understand when, like, people who go to Ivy Leagues, like, that's, like, a high-end, like, rate, because you're always stressed out maybe and hard on yourself. But if you're a dentist, like, what's the common thread?
I don't know.
I don't know. What else did she say that was funny? Oh, that vets like really don't know what they're doing. That's how I feel about psychiatrists, so that they really don't know what they're doing.
That's how I feel about everyone. Nobody like, knows what they're doing. They don't.
Some people are just really good at pretending. That's really about it.
That's the thing that I think keeps me going the most as like a writer, and with all the rejection and all the self-doubt. I just don't think anyone knows what they're doing. Some people are further along, but I think everyone's making it up as they go. Even with like parenting, now that I have friends who are starting to have kids, no one knows what they're doing at any time. Like, yes, of course, doctors go to med school and know more information, but doctors don't know everything.
They're making educated guesses most of the time.
Yeah.
They're just guessing.
Yeah. And I was listening to something or reading something that was basically saying like most drugs, most everything was done, tested on men. And so now they're finding like, oh, women react to drugs, certain drugs very differently. Like, for example, Ambien, women have a much lower tolerance for it or something like that. And that's why women are more likely to hallucinate on it, is because we have a much lower tolerance for it. And it's like all of these drugs that have always been tested on men and not women. And there's so many medical issues that doctors just don't know about for women.
That's infuriating, actually, that they wouldn't consider how half of the population responds to a medicine.
Yeah. I mean, I was at this family event over the weekend, and I was listening to my grandfather and another family friend talk about Trump and who they voted for. And they were basically both saying like that they are more so Republican and all this stuff. And I was thinking about it after, because they made certain points for the financial perspective that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so easy as a man to say that. Like, for example, all of these new laws that are just being passed in Ohio, for example, about abortion. Yeah. In Ohio now, it's illegal to get an abortion after 6 weeks. Most women don't even know they're pregnant until after that.
Right.
And it's like, it's so easy as a man to not think about any of those things. Whereas, like, as a female, our ability to even control things within our own body isn't even our decision anymore. And I think,
well, it's still our decision. It's just not in Ohio. It's becoming like, I mean,
yeah, but what about the women in Ohio who can't afford to travel to another state?
No, it's
terrible. So many limitations.
100%. No, I think it's disgusting, but I'm saying like, I don't think that the financial and the social have anything to do with each other. Like, if you're not socially liberal, something's fucking wrong with you.
100%, but I think that's one of the problems with politics right now, is the Republican side of things is conservative in every single aspect.
Right. And it totally. They're both very extreme.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't want to go further into politics.
No, I mean, it's interesting because everyone, no, I think it's kind of good to talk about, because I find it hard to identify with either party, because there are things about both parties that I think are smart. And I think a lot of people I talk to feel that way. And everyone's just scared to say it because they don't like chime in with exactly what the New York Times says. And it's, I don't know, I think it's important to talk about.
You know what else I was watching something about last night? Is the rise in anti-Semitism is nuts. There was this conference at UNC, University of North Carolina, that I think Duke participated in also. And it was like about the Middle East conflict, or it was about Gaza, and it was basically like an open conference about anti-Semitism. And I was watching this video of this guy who's Jewish was inside getting people's opinions and talking to them, and it was just straight anti-Semitism. It was mind-blowing and earth-shaking to watch. And then eventually security kicked him out, and he was like, why? And they're like, you're starting up too much of a problem with these questions. We don't know why you're here. Oh, and they basically kicked him out for no reason. And I was listening to Dax Shepard's podcast. Adam Pally is the most recent episode. And they were talking about religion and if he's Jewish. And he was basically saying, like, he used to not really, like, he's Jewish, but he used to just kind of make a joke about it and whatever. And now he's starting to really be more vocal about being Jewish, because
I had no idea he was Jewish.
Yeah, he was saying, like, our parents' generation kind of assimilated so well that all Jewish people kind of identify as white, right? Mm-hmm. But Jews, he was basically saying, like, Jews shouldn't identify as just, like, a white person, because we're not, and we're being, I mean, even just this anti-Semitism rally was pretty crazy, like, and I think I was talking to a younger family friend over the weekend while I was home, and he was talking to a girl, and I said, is she Jewish? And he was like, no, I don't really care about that. And I used to feel that way also. But now with this rise in anti-Semitism and being targeted out for being Jewish, it's like, it's not, I haven't gone to temple in years. It's not about the religious aspect of it, but if we all start forgetting how important it is, at least as a Jewish person, I don't know, I'm getting scared. This rise in anti-Semitism is pretty crazy. And I think people need to start talking about it more. Whether you're Jewish or not.
I agree. I mean, I get so affected by reading about, I mean, this is really dark, so we'll only talk about it in a second, but reading about things about the Holocaust. And the reason I bring this up is because my sister, Allie, her husband has family members that, like, basically the two of them fell in love in an internment camp. So, and they...
He's not Jewish, though.
He has Jewish cousins who didn't know, I don't know, it's all this crazy shit. He has some Jewish blood, and two of his family members were in the Holocaust, and then they, like, survived it together and ended up getting married. And it was, like, the most beautiful story I could have ever heard. And I think it's important to keep reading about those things and remembering that this occurred and it wasn't that long ago. Like, if you look at, like, the, you know, time as a whole.
Did you see Black Klansman, Spike Lee's movie?
No. Should I?
So it's basically about a guy who infiltrates the KKK and goes undercover in the KKK.
Mm.
And at the end of the movie, they show real footage from the Charlottesville rally, the one where Trump said both sides.
Yeah, that terrible.
Good people or whatever it was. And they showed real footage from the rally, and it is mind-blowing. Like, against Black people and Jewish people, what was being said and what was going on. And this stuff is real. And today, the Holocaust, growing up, it was like, oh, the past. But, like, it's all very real and seems to be coming back at a pretty rapid pace.
I know. I think it's just not in the coastal cities, and I think that's why people have a lack of awareness about it, because you're not really met with it every day. You know, if you live in New York, you never feel weird about being Jewish, trans, gay. I mean, you know, you could just live. Same with LA, but in a random-ass Nebraska town?
100%, yeah.
You know?
And I think the problem is a lot of the people in the middle of the country, like, they've never seen a Jewish person. They don't know. They just like to hate.
I feel like I would be scared to go to, like, a weird pocket of, like, Memphis, Tennessee. Like, I feel like they would stare at me if they knew I was Jewish, like, that we have, like, horns.
Oh, 100%. But yeah. I mean, there's this story of one of our camp counselors went to the University of Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And she's in the freshman year in the dorms. It's communal bathrooms. And a girl came up to her who was from, I don't know what state she was from, but maybe Michigan. And she said, "You're Jewish?" And my camp counselor said, "Yeah." And the girl, not intending any sort of, she wasn't trying to be mean or rude or judgmental. She said this in a very earnest way. She said to my camp counselor, she goes, "Where are your horns?" People are taught these crazy things.
It's insane. I forgot about that story.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Wow.
But
all right, well, we can
to lighter things.
Wrap it up on a higher note. Oh,
wait,
my back.
We need
hurts.
To talk about Pen 15.
Oh my God, Pen 15.
If you haven't seen Pen 15 on Hulu, it is so funny.
It was. I was, like, screaming, cringing, laughing.
We need to say what it's about. So it's about middle school, about being in middle school, but the two main girls.
But it's about being middle school in, like, 2001. Like, yeah, that's very relevant.
Right. It's about middle school when people our age were in middle school. Like, is it 2000?
Like,
it's not 90s.
2001 through 2003 was when we were in middle school.
Yes. But the girls playing the 13-year-olds are in their 30s. So it is just so funny. And it is so spot on when they're like, tell me the truth. I won't be mad. I won't be mad. Tell me the truth. I won't be mad. I promise not to be mad. It's like just so spot on.
It's so accurate. And also when the hot boy who's like literally like 4'11" and like how music plays when he comes in the room. And it's just like how you feel when you're young, like awkward.
But the hot boy like isn't even hot.
He's not.
It's like reputations get created when you're in middle school based off fake confidence. It really is. That's all it is. Like the cool girls are like not hot.
No.
It's all about the confidence.
But I thought it was so it's so funny. I forget her name, but the one who was like the cool girl who was wearing the thong, who had the pink thong. Like I recognized who that person was in my middle school, and like all the boys loved her because she was like had this like slutty vibe. Yeah. I was like, wow, I know that girl. And that's how I felt a lot of the time. Like, I know that person. Minus the Asian girl. I honestly never met anyone like her.
Interesting. Oh my God, that haircut. You guys, you have to watch it. But middle school, I think I changed a lot between middle school and high school. In middle school, I was very shy and quiet. At least that's how I remember it. And then like in eighth grade, I changed friends in seventh grade. And then in eighth grade, those friends I found out were like doing drugs. I think they like smoked weed once. Mm. And
you were turned off.
I think I don't remember if I was turned off by the fact that they did that or the fact that I asked them about it and they said they didn't. But regardless, I like broke up with that group of friends because they were like being like too risque. Mm. And then, but yeah, so I don't really identify like who that girl was in my middle school. Mm. There were like so many different groups. I mean, I don't know. Middle school sucks.
I thought the only thing they didn't add in there, which would have been relevant to our generation, was like how groups of friends like name themselves, whether that's like an acronym or like the crew or like, I don't know, what were we named ourselves in camp. This is so corny, but like we were 11, the Seven of Hearts.
We just said that amongst ourselves. No one else called us that.
But I would like write it in my AIM profile. You know what I mean?
Right. In my high school, there was one group of friends. My friend Michelle was actually part of this group for a little while. But they called themselves the CC, the Christian Clan. And now that I think about it, the word clan is mind-blowing. But I don't think any of us realized. And it wasn't even like
Wait, why Christian? Negative. Wait, they were church friends?
No, it was just like, oh, so my school was like half Jewish and half not Jewish. And I guess they were all like Christian. My friend Michelle's Jewish and she was in that group for a little while. I mean, I don't know what was said behind closed doors, but it didn't feel like prejudice or anything. It's just, that's just kind of what we called them. Like, oh, the CC is going to come to the party. Like, it was, now that I think about it, that's pretty mind-blowing. But yeah, so that was the only, like, name of a group I can think of.
Yeah, I had two groups of friends in middle school. The girls who were a year older than me and then the girls who were my age. And then the girls who were my age used to get pissed off at me for, like, hanging out with the older girls. And I'd be like, I'm sorry that I'm popular. I was awful. Oh, my God.
Middle school's a really, really tough time.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like when I think about having children, like I want to have the little ones up until age like 5, maybe age 10. And then it's like I want to skip until they're out of college, until like they can be like my friend. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to deal with any of that. Like I did middle school already. I don't want to relive it with my kids.
No, and the kids, and like we were so, I was very difficult. Like I fought with my mom so much in middle school and in beginning of high school. Like, I don't know, not looking forward to that, but like baby steps. We're really far away from that. We don't,
like, are we though?
I mean, we don't even have boyfriends, so like,
right, we are, but like I have some friends who are,
sure, other people aren't
mothers.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I'm pretty far away from
that. All right, on that note, well, we're really happy that we got, I'm happy we got to do this again. I'm like, we're gonna continue to. This was really fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it too.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you soon. Bye, guys.